You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy?
Yeah, he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, this morning we're talking with Alan Beck, who is professor of animal ecology at Purdue University School of Veterinary Medicine. Alan, before the break, we were talking about how the whole process of the human-animal bond had kind of evolved, and now we've reached a point where there's all kinds of benefits that are being seen in society, whether it's dogs for the blind or dogs in nursing homes. Actually, there's all kinds of animals in nursing homes and in schools. Explain how that has gone on and what your role is with it and how it's helping society move forward.
Well, I mean, both science and even organizations, administrations, which are always behind the times, administrations are beginning to recognize what the world has already known, that animals play a role at different levels and for different reasons in many, many environments. Everybody has acknowledged for years that animals are important to children, that young people of all backgrounds, and this has been done for rural, urban, all religious and racial backgrounds, young people are interested in animals. 75% of all children's literature, of course, is animal characters.
Interesting.
So it's really not surprising that we actually did an organized study, at least for Indiana, 27% of all elementary school classrooms have animals. The gerbils, salamanders, not dogs and cats, fish. And it's not as if they're teaching it as biology, though that might happen.
Right.
It really is to keep the youngsters interested. By the way, it's a wonderful social organizing mechanism.
Right.
I mean, after doing the survey, we did some actual visits. It's very common if the young people are getting a little too excited to say, "You're scaring the animals." And that is so much more effective than shut up, it's too noisy.
Yeah. You're done. Scaring the teacher.
Right. And it is a reward system. So you'll have a youngster saying, you're doing very well. If you really keep up this good work, you can clean the rat cage.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We see this time and time and time again, and it's just fantastic.
And the reward of being able to take the guinea pigs home for Christmas and the things like that. So we know that animals are important. And the perception is that animals fight loneliness and enrich the environment. So much of the early work was thinking about animals in nursing homes, where there is a legitimate perception that these people are lonely, are having less contact, and their environment is less enriched than outside the environment. And so the idea of bringing having resident animals, and we're seeing that all over the place now, as well as visitation with more furry animals is common. And the role of the animal is really not any different than it is in your own home, but it's particularly appreciated in the nursing home or hospital setting. So there's nothing magic in terms of animal-assisted therapy. It's doing the same wonderful things that we do all the time, just for people who are deprived of it.
And I would, in some respect, it just seems like if there isn't evidence that there is an animal-human bond and that there isn't, that there is actually some reason for them to be there, administrations with respect to any of these institutions, and I say that somewhat coldly, probably not necessarily intentionally say it coldly, but I'm just saying that it would be too easy for them to say, hey, that's a line item that we need to get rid of because.
Right. And it's interesting that you pointed out, because some of the early studies came out of California, because there was a line item that for nursing homes that if they had some kind of enrichment program, they did actually get a little food reward, a money reward. and so they started putting fishing aquariums.
Uh-huh.
one of our early interests here is that one of the companies that made those aquariums for California, which was a very, very good, safe nursing fish aquariums. You can't get into them. They're very stable, very low maintenance. They actually said, is there anything besides just environmental enrichment? So a collaborator, Nancy Edwards, who studies Alzheimer's patients in the nursing school, said, well, the biggest problem they have is that Alzheimer's patients don't eat well. They don't have the feedback for hunger, and they're either too agitated or too lethargic to sit and eat. And nothing holds their attention. They've tried everything, you know, TVs and lights and everything. So we weighed all the food they eat, and we introduced these aquariums. And sure enough, we actually not only got maintenance of weight, but they actually got an increase in weight, which is very important because they get so thin, they break bones. So it was... And it was actually cost-effective because then the nursing homes didn't have to give as many much more expensive supplements. And so, and what it's always doing is that it held their attention, which was fascinating to me, that here's people who don't even know their own name, who are not distracted by anything, find just watching standard goldfish aquarium so enthralling that they would sit in one. And, of course, when you sit in one place with food in front of you, you eat it. And for me, this is evidence that there really is a biophilia hypothesis, that we are fascinated by nature. It's inborn. It even outlives dementia. And so there is using a very simple intervention where we're able to quantify its impact. And that's one of the roles that we have to start playing, because I think you're right. Administration has to say we've got to both make it cost-effective and show that it is effective, because you could always argue that there's some risk, and it's nothing wrong taking risk if you balance it with the benefits, which it means you've got to document the benefits. And we're beginning to do that. I mean, you're right. Most of the early intervention, and even still, is really because there's volunteerism, because it doesn't cost anything. Very often the animals are donated, and the actual people doing it are actually just volunteers. More and more organized efforts are happening, and many, many of the children's hospitals really do have programs, even paid programs, because it's so important for young people to have a sense that they're going to get better, to have a focus of attention, which helps them deal with the grief of the moment. So we're beginning to see more and more of it.
Now in the, you know, I'm familiar with, we get the secondary effect of this information being disseminated, in that we have, I'm sure, at least a dozen, if not two dozen, places out there, retirement homes that actually now have aquariums that we maintain and service. But I'm wondering, how does that information best disseminating? Is it an efficient dissemination of that information, or is it them, some individual within this organization reaching out and saying, "Hey, look at this information," or do they get it?
You know, the absolute wonders of the programs are actually the problems as well, because it is so disseminated. The role of animals comes out of all different academic fields: gerontology, veterinary medicine, public health, psychology, and it's also dispersed all over the place. There's both inside academic areas and, of course, like nursing homes and veterinary practices and various kinds of therapeutic programs. It's also spread out all over the place. So getting information has always been a problem outside of the sort of the popular literature, some of which is not always right on target. One of the things that we did get a big grant from an organization that was just formed called the Habry Foundation, which is a way of focusing money from the industry for a nonprofit to start putting this together, as we're developing, and it'll go online soon, a sort of platform, which is like a super-duper website that has the actual resources of the literature, has the actual materials themselves to read, will have a collaboration mechanism where people who are working together could even put their data together, both from inside and outside the academic environment. And it's going to be called, it is Habry Central, and will be online probably in early 2012. So that's one attempt where the industry itself recognizes that the sheer dispersal, which is, makes it wonderful, has been a problem.
Yeah, and that's exciting because when I'm listening to you and I you were telling me about the Alzheimer's patients, I'm thinking, wow, that just, you know, now I am 10 times more committed to making sure that those tanks that are out there in our maintenance, you know, portfolio are given the kind of attention that it deserves. I mean, now I'm starting to think of, okay, what kind of visual differences can it make as far as the type and of fish selection and those type of things? Not that we haven't thought about that continuously, but enthusiasm drives everything. But the problem is that that information that you just told me, I've never heard of that, you know? And yet I've always been a fascinated curiosity seeker for, you know, that animal-human bond. And so having that out there in just common internet cloud land is just an exciting idea.
Well, you're right. And of course, and it's not surprising you haven't heard it. I mean, I would suspect you don't have a subscription to the Western Journal of Nursing Research.
Didn't do that one.
you let your subscription lapse and see if
Rick.
You missed it.
Rick, you've let us down.
Well, you never know. Those dues come due, and you're just like, I can't afford it anymore.
No, and that's why we need something that is not only more available, because anybody, once you, there's no cost to it, that's part of the foundation's commitment, is we're not charging, but it'll be at least something that you know there's something available that once you're on that platform, you really could, and we're working out the whole taxonomy, do a sophisticated, you know, what is going on now with the use of aquaria, and that you'll be able to do that.
What, right. Well, and but for both of you, I can honestly say I spend quite a bit of time in a senior care facility right here in Lansing, and I have sat in the reception area waiting for my appointment, and lo and behold, what I've seen is literally people who almost appear lifeless sitting there, and all of a sudden a dog or a bird in the aviary will fly near them, and it's as if the spark of life is ignited in a human being, and then when the animal walks away, it goes back to how it was previously. So you can almost see that there's a lending of life into these folks as these animals come near, and it's a wonderful thing to see. It's very inspiring.
It is, and it is one of the major roles animals play for people at in all situations. That is, it brings you to the moment. It's a wonderful focus of attention. And if you're in the present, you don't worry, you worry less. Because most concern comes because you're thinking about something that happened or something that will happen. You rarely are depressed about something that's happening right at the moment.
Right.
So if you can hold your attention to the present, and also animals sort of help you start thinking about better times, because most of our relationship with animals were of better times and of fun times. It's a wonderful therapeutic event for everyone whenever it happens.
Right. Dr. Beck, we're coming up on another break. If we can, I'd like to hold you through for the next segment. And what I'd like to talk with you about is the future. Where do you see the research going, and where will the human-animal bond take us? Right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.
Well, everybody's heard about the birds.